Can I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn Boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? As for me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise.
Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap race dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing jets, slow express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the fuck you expect? Yep, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Goddamn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find opening him with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Who you gonna see? You can't replace him. Cheap imitation for me.
Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn ball. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl.
What the hell are you waiting for?
What you made me do, look what I made for you. Knew if I pay my dues, how will they pay you? When you first come in the game, they try to play you. Then you drop a couple of hits, look how they wave for you. From R.C. to Madison.
What's up, ladies and gents? We're back, live on another beautiful edition of Left Hook Lounge Radio. As many of you all know, for the next 30 days, 5 nights a week, 60 minutes a night, we'll be breaking down this Mayweather-Pacquiao fiasco. Or I shouldn't say fiasco yet. I hope we don't have one, but we'll be breaking down this epic clash, if I can say it that way, for the next 30 days. Lot going on. I always like to get different angles. Many of you all know that I like to spend a lot of time trying to understand and dissect this stuff, get to the bottom of this stuff, and there's no better way to do it than bringing on some of the best personalities, some of the best minds in the sport. Over the next 30 days, we'll be talking to a lot of fighters, a lot of writers, you name it, trainers, celebrities, athletes, definitely a lot of guys, men and women, I should say, that we'll have on the slate moving forward. But prior to getting into all of that, I do want to say that a little later in the broadcast, next 5-10 minutes or so, we're going to bring in a man who I think will have some very strong input on this topic. Very few people understand the art of a KO better than this guy, referring to none other than my man Randall Bailey, one of my homeboys, obviously, Miami guy like me, had to represent for the 305 yard. I know New York's in the building. I know the West Coast is in the building. I know Dallas and all them other cities and states, Chicago in the building, but I got to rep for the 305. And that's why in a few minutes we're going to bring in one of the best KO punchers that the sport has seen, definitely in this recent generation. So Randall Bailey will be with us in a few moments. Looking over the headlines, I've seen some pretty interesting things as it relates to this fight. I think it's so funny how it's very divisive. You know, even some of the people you would expect to be able to pinpoint things or say things specifically, accurately, we're getting a lot of, I guess I should say, for lack of better terms, drama, a lot of indecision on behalf of a lot of people. I look in today's headlines, there's apparently a little spat in the Ali family. Muhammad Ali, who he supports, first we hear Manny Pacquiao. Then we hear it's probably not Pacquiao as strong as we're being told. You know, maybe it's Mayweather. I don't know. I don't think anyone knows. But I do think it's really funny how both of these guys are so beloved that it literally splits everyone down the middle. It seems like the hate is with Mayweather. It has always appeared that way. And I think if you sat 10 fans in a room and spoke to all 10 of them, 9 of them are going to tell you they want the guy to lose. But on a wide scale, what I think is really interesting is that you do actually have a lot of love for Floyd Mayweather. And, you know, the appreciation, I guess what it really comes down to, you have to appreciate, I won't say just greatness, but anyone that dedicates themselves to that level, to their craft and what they do. Then, of course, Manny Pacquiao, obviously, it's not hard to love a guy like Manny. you know, great guy, funny guy, if you ever been around him. And his fighting style is just amazing. You know, we've watched him for years, and it's a beautiful thing. But rather than me going and on, what I'm going to do is go ahead and bring in my man Randall Bailey, who I think is in the building with us at this stage. Randall, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's up, big man? How's it going?
Man, nothing. Just training hard. That's it.
I hear you, man. You know, before we get into the whole Mayweather-Pacquiao stuff, which obviously we're going to spend some time dissecting that, but you say you're training right now. What have you been up to? What do you have? Is anyone mustered the nuts to actually get in the ring with you? What's going on in the world of Randall Bailey right now?
It's amazing right now. You know what I'm saying? I think we're in a different generation of fighters right now. It's like the era of the boxers, and this generation right here seems like to be the worst.
Yeah, you know, we hear that from a lot of fighters, and it's really unfortunate because you got a lot of old lions out there like yourself who could really do some damage but never really get the opportunities because a lot of these young guys know it. Speaking of which, let me ask you a question, and we're going to talk some more about you before we get into the other stuff, but something happened today that I thought was really, really interesting, and it kind of borders along the lines of what you're talking about. Amir Khan was basically, I mean, for lack of better terms, when you look at what's going on, basically the IBF ordered 147-pound eliminator for him to face Amir Khan, but he came out and basically stated that that he was supposed to face Timothy Bradley. Rather than him taking that fight, which you've probably heard by now, he decided that he's going to face Chris Algieri. Which a lot of people have an issue with at this stage because it's not a good stylistic fight in my mind. But beyond that, it's not the fight that people want to see. What are your thoughts when you see these guys take lesser competition when they could be in with better competition like yourself or the Timothy Bradleys of the world?
It's like, what can we do about it now? You know what I'm saying? You know, these guys, they're not trying to be great. They saying they want to be great, but they're not proving themselves they want to be great by fighting the lack of opposition that they're fighting. You know, and in my time, if somebody said they was the baddest, that's the person I want to fight. If somebody said they want to fight me, I fight them. You know, I don't care what the style matchup look like. Probably worst style for me, but the man said he wanted to fight me. So guess what I'm gonna do? We're gonna fight. If he beat me, he beat me. But we finna do it. And these guys, they just out blatant saying no. They don't want to fight certain people. But then they get in the ring on national TV and call themselves a beast and all this other stuff. Like they really that type of fighter.
You know, you just said something a minute ago that I really want to caption and frame. That was perfectly put. When you said that, you know, this man want to fight me. If he beat me, he beat me, but he want to fight me. So you want to fight him, basically. You do not see that mentality in boxing today. Everything's political. Yeah. Everything's a business, you know. And, I mean, let me ask you this, though, Bailey. When it's kind of a catch-22. I'm going to play devil's advocate right here. When you look at some of these guys, you know, I won't say specifically Amir Khan, but when you look at a lot of these fighters that's coming up, you know, the Danny Garcias of the world, and I'm a Danny Garcia fan, but I think about some of the stuff we've seen even with him, and I think he's a very talented kid. But, you know, when you see that kind of stuff and guys are basically making decisions that will set them up for bigger paydays, you set yourself up for a bigger payday, you set yourself up essentially to not have to fight as long or to walk away on your turn, whatever. When you think about that, I mean, does it change your position a little bit as it relates to them possibly doing this stuff for better financial opportunities, or do you just feel flat out the best, make their reputation, and earn that type of money by beating the best? How do you feel when it comes to that whole angle?
Hey, I have no respect for them. if you're not willing to fight the best to earn your right, forget about the money. You know what I'm saying? Your reputation as a fighter follows you everywhere. I don't care when you retire, whatever. Your reputation follows you. I got a friend, Freddie Pendleton. Freddie fought everybody. Freddie had over, I want to say, 20-some losses. But when you mention his name, you know what they say? That motherfucker fight. That motherfucker punch. He fought everybody. He didn't care. That's what they say.
Yeah, that-
But these guys today, they want all the accolades with nothing.
Yeah, it's you're right. You're 1,000% right, and it's troubling because everyone that I speak to, particularly everyone that came before this new school, so to speak, you hear this, and everyone can't be wrong. I mean, everyone's saying the same thing, everyone's singing the same tune. And it's really troubling because it makes everything so political. I guess what one of the things is, it's really a catch-22 and it's a double-edged sword because, you know, we look at a guy like a Floyd Mayweather. Who was it? I forget who said the other day. I think it was Evander Holyfield was saying that, you know, in Floyd Mayweather, he feels you have a double-edged sword in the sense that people can look at him and say, well, this guy is incredibly in shape, he's dedicated to his craft, but he's also one of the best businessmen. When you look at a legacy of a Floyd Mayweather, some people will say, well, he should have faced Antonio Margarito, he should have faced Paul Williams, he should have did this, he should have did that. Right now, he's on the brink of fighting and making more in one night than any athlete more in one night than any athlete has ever made in one night, period. Hands down, to my knowledge. When you look at that, what are your thoughts about Floyd Mayweather's legacy before we get into the whole scenario with he and Manny Pacquiao? How do you feel about his legacy and his level of opposition as he created that legacy?
Hey, I'm going to keep it real like it is. It's not Floyd's fault that there is nobody from 135 to 147 that can – I'm going to even – because he done went up to 154, can beat him. He's for every name that you could possibly think of, you know. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. See no outliers on his resume.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
He has earned everything he's gotten. No matter how easy it looks, they wanted him to fight Canelo. Me myself, felt like he didn't want to fight Canelo. They forced him to fight Canelo. What did Canelo? Beat him. All these other guys out here talking about they want to fight Floyd and this and that and ain't fought nobody.
That's funny you say that. I'm going to throw this story out there. Everyone listening can't relate. This is definitely a 305 story, but I actually, it's funny because I was supposed to go and cover that fight, but my son, who's a big boxing fan as well, he wanted to check that one out with me. In the morning, I was supposed to board the flight. I was backpacked, got in the car, about to head to the airport, and I just say, you know what, F it. I'm going to stick around. I'm not going to go. I'm going to stick at home, and I'm actually going to check this out with my little man. So we actually ended up watching it at our barbershop. Now, you guys out there don't know, but Bailey and I, we actually go to the same barbershop, Exclusive Barbers. If you're ever in South Florida, ladies and gents, you got to stop by Exclusive Barbers. Athletes, celebrities, regular Joes like me and you, but it's definitely the spot, especially if you're a boxing fan. But
we
sat in there that night.
We have a ball.
Yeah, exactly. We sat in there that night with a ton of people, four or five big screens on the walls. Man, that was one of the livest fight parties I've been to in a minute. But to get back to the real deal, I was totally shocked myself, Randall, that he whitewashed him the way that he did. Honestly, that was one of the few fights he went into where I saw him possibly losing. And it was amazing.
I don't know what came over Canelo that night, but Floyd got in his head and did what he was supposed to do. Simple as that.
Yeah, I thought it was a hell of a performance far more than I expected from him personally.
Yeah. But see, that Floyd is not the problem. It's these other guys out here. You got Keith Thurman saying he could beat Floyd. You said, when they mentioned my name, you said you didn't want to fight nobody that was 40, but then you just go the distance with a 40-year-old midget.
Oh, boy. You know what? You just.
And then
you
got guys like Berto. You got guys like Berto saying he back. He a beast. He a beast now. He done turned his name into the beast. But as soon as you mention my name, he turned to a fucking cat.
You know, that's.
These guys is flawed than a fake diamond. You know, and I applaud Al Heyman because he's not gonna force these guys to do it. But if they go to him and say, Al, you know what? I wanna put myself to the test. Put me in with Madonna. Put me in with Bentley. Put me in with such and such. You know what I'm saying? You know what he gonna do? Make the fucking fight. But these guys ain't asking for it. So he's not gonna make them do it. You know, they're not asking for it.
Yeah, you know what?
We got a fight coming up Saturday night. You got Joy Hernandez fighting J Rock. If you go back in social media, you will see Joy Hernandez calling out J Rock. Everybody looking at this shit like, this guy's fucking crazy. J Rock is a beast. He can fight.
No doubt.
But you understand what I'm saying, though, right?
Definitely.
You know, I respect him for that. And I called him and told him, you know what? You got a lot of balls calling this guy taking that fight. You didn't have to. He didn't have to take this fight with this guy. But the man
yeah.
wanted to push himself. He wanted to push himself.
Hey, and you can't do nothing. You can't do nothing but respect the guy who takes that position, though, I think.
Hey, that's going to be one of the toughest fights of his career. J-Rock can fight.
Yeah.
You know? But these other guys, man, I'm just...
Yeah, let's... Yeah, you know what, real quickly, though, when because you just touched on the whole Berto thing. I had the opportunity to see that fight last week. I thought he looked better than I thought he would, but... And this is kind of funny to say, but similar to Amir Khan, he always seems like he's one flush punch away from really, really
hey.
Being hurt. Or yeah, he just I don't know what it is. Something
hey,
I don't know his conditioning. I support his
Bill,
career, but
you was a fan watching that fight because I was laughing the whole goddamn time. The man was shaking before he threw his punches. If you look at the fight, look at Berto. He's holding his jab hand up, shaking it before he throw it. What the? Could I say fuck? That was about some of the dumbest. I say if Jose Cito Lopez would have just threw his punches, he probably would have fell down. Berto is
yeah. Well, you know what though,
he,
Bailey.
I'm gonna say it in
you know
English.
What, Randall,
I'm gonna say it in English and I'm gonna say it in Spanish. God, basura.
You know what, man? You and this is one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on to talk about this subject. I think a lot of what you're getting at stems from your maturity and experience in the ring, which is something that not a lot of guys can relate to. A lot of fans out there will look at boxing and basically make assessments based on a very limited scope of intelligence on the sport. You get guys
yeah.
like yourself, you know, some of the other writers in the sport, some of the historians in the sport who really understand the art of boxing, and you see things from a totally different scope. And that was why I wanted to get you on. I've had the opportunity to talk with you on different occasions, and you are, like, every single time I've walked away thinking, like, damn, he got a good grip on what he does. And it kind of helps me understand how you found success in the sport because – again, you're looking at things from a totally different scope than some of the younger eyes who have not been around the sport for a while. But that being said, let's go ahead and segue into the real deal. Let's get at the Mayweather-Pacquiao thing. Mm-hmm. When you look at Manny Pacquiao, incredible work rate, very good power. You know, he's smiling every time you see him, but he's a deadly little mofo. He really is. What do you think about, like, from a let's talk from a technical standpoint. You look at a guy stylistically like that. If you are jumping in a ring with him, how would you approach a fighter like that? Like, what would your approach be against a guy like that?
Well, I'm gonna give it to you in two ways. From a fan aspect, you look at Manny Pacquiao, flurries, punches from everywhere, this. But from a technical point of Floyd Mayweather, because to myself as a fan, I'm looking at Manny Pacquiao. Man, this shit gonna be tough for Floyd. You actually think about it. Ready to beat Floyd? Because I don't know, the Madonna fight was a little crazy for him, you know. But
yes,
this I think can actually be easier than that fight. And I'm gonna give you the key right quick here: his jab. If he's using his jab like the old Floyd used to do, this fight gonna be easy as shit. But if he sit back and try to pot shot Manny all night, throwing not enough, Manny gonna get the edge on him.
You know, I've heard some people speak about the jab and the fact that they think he needs to use the jab. I'm all for that. I've always said and always felt that the best punch you can have in your arsenal as a boxer is a jab, because it sets up everything else. But, you know, when you look at Pacquiao, and I always tell people, Mayweather, I think, is faster in one punch, but Manny Pacquiao let both of his hands go. He's like a freaking machine gun. Like, he lets both hands go fast. How easy is it, and I'm asking you for your technical expertise, being that you've been in the ring, how easy is it really to use a jab when you got a guy that throws powerful punches that fast? Like, is it as simple as it sounds?
Floyd is very calm. He don't get rattled. Well, I don't know. Well, in a recent fight, I've never seen him rattle too much, you know, but, you know, you never know. But if he's pumping that jab the way he's used to do, top and bottom, he's going to throw Manny off all night. I'm going to give you a prime example. Who the hell thought Floyd was going to be Shane Mosley? Nobody.
That's a very good point.
What got him in control? The fucking jab.
Yes. That's a really, really good point.
Easy night.
Yeah, you know what, too, that fight, you're right, too, because I can see in my mind right now Shane Mosley sitting in this corner in one of them rounds. I can't remember which round, obviously, but I remember that was the first time I ever saw Mosley sitting there with no answers. Like, it's just nothing he could do to penetrate the jab or get in there. But that's a beautiful point, because the jab
and
is
Vernon
what
did,
kept him
and
at bay
didn't
all
do
night
nothing
long.
Special. Vernon didn't do nothing special. Didn't do nothing special.
So, okay, so that brings me to a different angle. Because in order to use that jab, you got to not only speed and reflexes, obviously, but you have to be able to have some type of length advantage, some type of reach advantage, which Floyd does. How helpful do you think his reach will be against a guy like Pacquiao? You know, few people realize this is the first time that that Floyd will be fighting a guy smaller than him in quite some time. You know, you probably got to go back.
And that could be a problem too, because shorter guys, you have to, like I said, the sparring and everything, you got to be dead on. You know, because you getting up with somebody you three inches taller than, and you trying to jab them, you got to basically not permit yourself to get down to their level. You know, and it's hard, you know? So he got to go back to the old Floyd, you know, boxer, using his legs, popping that jab up and down, you know, working that left hand. That's going to be the key. And if he can slip that right hand, a la me against Figueroa, hey, you never know what could happen.
Definitely. So now when – okay, so listening to what you're saying, and I can totally see Floyd going with the similar game plan. His dad is definitely a fundamentalist. Floyd Sr. will tell you jab and defense is like his main ingredients. So I could totally see Floyd doing that. But when let's get back to Manny Pacquiao's work rate. Do you think that Floyd Mayweather has to knock him out to get the victory? Because Roy Jones, a lot of people have gone on record to say that. Do you think he actually has to stop him to get the W?
I'm telling you right now, he can stop all that shit. All that shit could get stopped with a perfect left hand. Perfect left hand.
So even though he has a fast southpaw across from him, even with the southpaw stance, you think the jab can nullify everything?
Touch him in the chest, touch him on the shoulder, touch him everywhere with that jab. Touch him on the forehead, touch him on the shoulders, touch him on the elbow, touch him everywhere. Throw him right off because he's going to have to keep resetting.
That's a really interesting angle, and I can't say you're wrong because, trust me, the jab has saved a lot of guys. So I think you might be on to something.
I didn't even touch Figueroa with my jab. I moved his hand out of the way with my jab just so I could get my punch in, and that's the same. That's all he got to do with Manny Pacquiao.
That's interesting.
Strong, effective jab.
Okay.
The way Floyd is, superior eye coordination, you know, it could be an easy fight, or it could be a hard fight, depending on him.
Let me ask you this, Randall. When you look at Floyd, a lot of people criticize him for not being a tough fighter because his decision is typically not to fight in those type of fights where you have to prove your toughness. He ain't doing a firefight with anyone. Well, we've seen him get rocked. You look at the Shane Mosley fight. I was there that night, and I swear to you, when he got clocked the second time, I looked at the young lady in media row next to me, and the first thing I told her was, we're about to witness a Mayweather loss. Like, I thought it was about to come, but he was able to weather the storm and totally took the fight over. What do you think
I really didn't become a Floyd Mayweather fan until after that fight, because that fight right there showed me everything.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
You watch the guy go from almost being knocked out. After the second time he got rocked, before the round was even over, he was already coming back. And he basically took Shane Mosley completely out the fight. From the third round on to the 12th.
Yeah, you know, I remember talking to Floyd Sr. after that fight. And he was telling me that he was actually upset with Floyd for not giving himself more time to shake that off, basically. And it takes me back because I couldn't see it in the arena that night. But when I came back and I watched it at home, I thought about the conversation with Floyd Sr. And then I thought about they showed on air a clip where the camera, I guess Floyd looked up at the Jumbotron and saw a replay of it. And he smiled almost like, I can't even believe I let this shit happen. Like, he about to pay for that. And it just showed me how much pride this dude really has, which also speaks for how he's been able to be this great. People don't understand how crazy his passion to win is. It's really out of this world.
I guess, they feel like it's hard to be the way he is, walking around, you know what I'm saying, you drive around in a different Lamborghini every day, and this and that, you know, Bugattis and all this, but the man got dog in him. I'm going to give it to him. He got dog in him. I'm a fan, but he earned it, you know. Can't take it away from him. He earned it. No, but Floyd got some dog in him.
How much of that dog, let's say he doesn't use the, and I'm glad you went there, because a lot of people I've heard say exactly what you just said. There wasn't a whole lot of respect for him. Everyone thought he didn't have much of a chin, didn't think he had much toughness. That night, I think he really silenced the critics. But how much of that dog do you think he would be willing to put on the line I know you say the jab can make the fight easier, but do you think, and I'm asking this for a specific reason, do you think that he will elect to show more of that dog in this fight, considering everybody's watching, everybody wants to see if he'll do it against Pacquiao? Like, do you think he'll put himself on the line like that, or do you think he'll just stick to the script and get the easy W?
Stick to the script. Win is a win, and when you lose, everybody you thought that wants you to win really wants you to lose anyway. So do it the best way you know how.
Yeah, I'm curious to see myself whether he'll do that. You know, the reason that I asked that question, all accounts I'm being told is that he will fight this fight like he did Cotto, like he did Canelo, where he won't back up much. He plans to stand in front of him and actually throw hands with him. But the whole strategy is basically if he can blunt Pacquiao's attack standing in front of him and strip that confidence, you have nothing left. Because Pacquiao, there is no plan B with Pacquiao. It's straight up ambush assault. Once that don't work, it's just pretty much that's it. You know, he's going to keep trying and whatever happens, happens. But there really is no plan B. If that is the Mayweather strategy, not to say that it is, I'm just going by hearsay and the regular rumblings, but do you think we see a rare moment where he actually touches the canvas? I guess what I'm getting at, do you think if he elects to get away from the jab and fight that type of fight, do you think he puts himself in danger?
I think he will. I think he will put himself in danger, but if he gets rocked or hurt and Pacquiao don't finish him, best believe he's going to go back to the game plan and do what he got to do. He know how to win. If you don't get him when you got him, you're done.
You know, I heard one fight fan say it best. I think my man Ricky up in the Northwest somewhere out there, but I think it was him who made the comment that it's like giving a sniper, I can't remember how he put it. It was a hell of a quote. It's exactly what you're talking about. If you don't get him when you got him, you are pretty much done typically.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he's a beast, man. He really is.
Hey, I'm not going for nobody. I'm just glad to fight Havlin, and I want to see it. And I know it's going to be a great fight because you're going to have two guys at 1,000% ready to fight. You know, this is all on the mountain right here.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I hear being asked a lot, and I'm going to throw it out at you, but I think you kind of just answered it, but I'm going to throw it out there in the way that it came to me. When you look at all the hype, all the, you know, $250,000 ringside seats, all of this stuff surrounding it, which sounds great and it looks great on paper, but as Pat Riley told us, paper burns. Do you think when it's all said and done, on the morning of May 3rd, when when the headlines go to print, do you think this fight will have lived up to the hype?
Okay. I think so, because no matter what Floyd do, Manny coming to do what he going to do. Manny only know
very
one way.
Point.
Straight forward and pound you, pound you, pound you, pound you.
You know, that right there is why it's hard for me, admittedly, to see Floyd Mayweather win this fight. Not to say he won't, and I'm not saying, you know, not on any level that he won't or he can't. Mm-hmm. But it's been a 50-50 fight in my book from day one, because Floyd Mayweather has been able to create distance and do things against reckless guys and you know, wild guys, powerful guys, a lot of stuff.
Hey.
But this is a short guy, so that's already one complex. You mentioned some earlier that was very important about a shorter fighter and how you can tend to go down to his level. Well, you got that.
Yeah.
You got the southpaw angle, and you got a lot of speed and power to account for.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's
exactly.
That's a tall order. Marquez, it took
that's
Marquez.
A tall order.
Yeah, man. Marquez is one of the best fighters of this generation. Not named Mayweather, I would say he's probably one of, if not the best, counterpuncher outside of Mayweather, but it took him four times to get it right.
Hey, I'm not even going to comment on that fight because I just think something was up in that fight because I never seen Marquez fight that way in a fight. You know, it's like he was pretty much looking for that one punch all night, like he knew he had something in the bag. And, you know, you don't hit a guy, you don't hit this man over 100 times with your holiday punch, your Thanksgiving dinner, and your Christmas package, and you never rocked him like that. And then all of a sudden, one fight, here we go. Nah.
Okay, so now you know I can't let you say that and get away with it without digging into that a little bit. And
hey,
I'm not
hey,
asking
is,
you to
hey.
Eliminate yourself.
I'm done with the statement. I ain't even going to say nothing else about it.
Hey, well, I will. This is what I have to say about it. And if you want to jump in behind me, you can.
Okay.
As great as I think Marquez has been, I agree. Mm-hmm. I've never seen him with that type of power. He's landed every shot in his arsenal. You said his holiday punch. You ain't lying. He landed. That's what actually threw me off that night. And I always tell people it wasn't even a knockout. It was the knockdown prior to that because Manny Pacquiao's been hit with, bigger shots a million times
exactly.
by bigger fighters.
Exactly.
But that night, that particular fight, he was able to knock him down with that shot and finish him off later with it. That says something.
The first knockdown was so wide, Manny had his gloves up, and he caught him on the outside of the glove and knocked Manny down.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
What is we doing here? Is this a new person?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, it was. But you know, let me shift gears right quick. Getting away from that, we hear a lot of fight fans out there today that's talking about the fact that Floyd Mayweather has decided to bring Angel Heredia around his camp, not an active part of it. Heredia obviously being the guy that worked with Marquez going in to that Pacquiao fight where they knocked him out, but also Alex Ariza. My personal opinion is that it's typical mental warfare from
exactly.
a chess master
exactly.
known to play them games. Would you look at it the same way, or do you think it raises questions?
Yeah, of course that's what it is. Of course that's what it is. That's what Floyd do. You don't get in your head before the fight even happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, been a million years,
yeah,
but I think he'll take some to try to get the edge on both of them. I think I got too much pride for that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I try to explain to a lot of fight fans, you know, we're used to seeing the intimidators of the world. Mike Tyson was such a physical specimen, such a beast. People feared him before he got in the ring because he did
exactly.
it with intimidation. Floyd will jaw all day, talk stuff or whatever, but he's not the same type of guy. So this is his way of getting into a guy's mind. And you know what? People don't see it that way, but I couldn't see him doing it any other way.
Nah,
personally.
Nah. But he ain't gonna do that. He ain't gonna do that. Got too much pride for that.
I agree. I definitely agree. Interesting. So if you had to give a final prediction on it, Randall, now you've thrown a lot out there, but if you had to actually put money on the table, who wins this fight? How do they win this fight?
Whoever go in with their game plan and stick to it is going to win the fight. If Floyd could get Manny out of his game plan, it's going to be an easy fight. If Manny can attack and get in on Floyd, it's going to be a good night. You never know. You never know. You don't know who's going to show up tonight. You know? One thing I learned about these fights, anything can happen.
That's very
true.
I'm just paying
my $100 because I like both guys and I want to see a good damn fight.
Yeah. And you know what? I think we will. I was asking you earlier about how do you see it living up to the hype and that kind of thing. I personally think, particularly with some of the stuff that's coming out of the Mayweather camp, and I emphasize the Mayweather camp because we know that he can dance and get around the fire and that kind of stuff. What's coming my way is that he doesn't necessarily plan on doing that. So that's,
no, he can't. But see, he cannot do that. Floyd's not going to win this fight throwing 15 punches, landing 15 punches around. How he was able to take everybody out and use his defense, use his shoulder roll against these guys. He's going to have to be very offensive in this fight to beat Manny. Because Manny is coming. Without a doubt, he is coming. So Floyd's going to have to go into that offensive bag and pull out the artillery and fire. Because Manny's going to be on his ass.
That's what makes this fight interesting. You know one thing? I never forget talking to the late, great Emmanuel Stewart. One of the few times I was able to actually corner him off. God bless his soul. But we sat and talked at length, and he was very animated about this very fight. And I'll never forget that he reminded me. He said, you know what? The deceptive thing about Floyd Mayweather, everyone always talks about his defense and how great his defense is and his reflexes. He was telling me, though, coming up in Michigan, everyone knew Floyd from his offense. And people forget that Floyd actually, I mean, when you look at the KO percentages, they're not very far off. Floyd has put a lot of men on their seat. And that makes this fight interesting because you hear that they're emphasizing strength training and stuff like that. You know, I'm beginning to wonder, with this mentality that he plans to stand in the pocket and, you know, fight that type of fight, I'm beginning to really wonder if he is coming for a knockout.
But let's go back. We're talking before he retired, remember he was having hand problems.
Yes.
Banging people out. Hey, if I could beat these guys easy, guess what? Call me when I get to the bank. You know, longevity. That's why he's been able to do it for so long. Make it look so easy.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
Can't blame him.
I didn't hear you. Say that again.
I said you can't blame him.
Yeah. Hey, well, when you listen to a lot of these guys who have evolved and grown out of the sport, the James Tonys, et cetera, you know, one thing I will say is very tough to hear some of these older guys slurring and things like that. When I look at that, you know, I think truthfully you have to respect the fact that he has been able to win the way that he has. I mean, people say, oh, he's only defensive, he's too defensive. You don't win fights with defense. This ain't the NFL where they say defense wins championship. You got to have some offense to score to win, and he's doing it. So
Floyd right now is not it's not a boxing match no more. People come to see Floyd. Floyd is an attraction now. You know, he's
earned. It's a really interesting perspective.
Who hasn't he fought? Floyd is an attraction now. People don't go to see him lose. They go to see how he's going to win.
Yeah, that's the interesting irony.
What I'm saying, his ring interest was a goddamn carnival when he came out against Canelo. Wasn't Madonna. He had a fucking circus.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty bizarre, but I guess it worked for him.
He earned it.
Yeah. You know, I can't – that's why I say, man, it's really hard for me to criticize him or be too critical. Now, outside of the ring, that's a different story, and we're going to leave that outside the ring for now.
That's his own business.
Exactly.
That's his own business.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something. To be at his level and not try to be so secretive, because there's a lot of these imitators out here, perpetrators, try to act like they search every week, try try to act like they donate money to every charity. You know?
Yeah.
These dudes, you know what I'm saying? Posting tip receipts on Instagram. It's first time doing it? You know? It's your first time leaving a tip. You want everybody to see this one? Get your ass out of here with that. Man, please.
Oh, God. Randall Bailey, Raw and Uncut, ladies and gents. Bailey, look, we got about 15 minutes left in the hour. We got some people out there that I'm assuming want to get in a few questions before we drop off. Do I need to let you get out of here now, or you got 10, 15 more minutes for us?
Hey, I'm good. I got time. I'm
sorry, you broke up for a little bit there. Say that again.
I said I closed everything out because I knew you was going to have me tonight.
Okay, good stuff. Good stuff. I'll tell you what then, ladies and gents, I see all of you guys out there in queue. If you want to get some questions in, we might have to go rapid fire, but the lines are open right now. If any one of you all want to get in, hit one. That'll put you in the queue to speak to myself and my man Randall Bailey. Looks like we got a 216 just been hanging out there. In queue to talk. We're going to let them get in with the KL King tonight. 216, live on Left Hook Lounge Radio.
Hey, what's up? I just got on, so I just heard y'all talking at last end. I'm looking forward to the fight. Can't wait. But you heard about, I'm assuming, because I wasn't here the first part of the show, that Judah opponent pulled out and he was training at Freddie Roach Wild Card Gym. Did you hear about that?
Wait a minute. Who was training at Wild Cards? No, I didn't hear that.
Zab Judah's April 11th opponent. I forgot his name. Kind of, a foreign name. But he was training at Freddie Roach Wild Card Gym in Los Angeles. You know he pulled out mysteriously yesterday. Well, today. Yesterday.
No, that's news to me. I didn't hear about that. I guess I'll
exactly.
411 on that a little bit later. Okay.
Yeah, no, he trains at Freddie Roach Gym, and he pulled out mysteriously yesterday. So it was just and he was wondering if Roach had something to do with that. And of course, just common sense because they had a little beef back and forth, and all of a sudden yesterday. His opponent, without any injury, and that's the word around Vegas anyway, no injuries or nothing like that. He just pulls out the fight, I'm not fighting you now. So I was like, wow. I said, the mind game, really, he's really taking this to the next level. You know what I'm saying? So,
have you heard, they said Floyd's side was paying farm partners not to go spar with Manny Pacquiao. You heard that one?
Well, like I said, I don't know how much truth it is to it. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, money talks at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? He got great foreign partners. As far as I'm concerned, somebody told me Rigondeaux was his foreign partner, but I said that didn't make too much sense because he was southpaw.
No, that report was never true. That would have made no sense. Rigondeaux is a southpaw himself. He's small. And nothing about that made sense, but I'll tell you what, my man, I apologize, but we're going to have to jump on to the next one. Before I let you go, though, did you have a specific question or anything for Randall Bailey?
Oh, this is Randall Bailey?
Yes,
sir.
Randall Bailey in the building.
I heard you say
you just came in, so I wanted to make sure you knew who was in the building with us tonight. He's taking a few calls before I – go ahead.
Okay. You still campaigning at 147, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I would like you and Broner. I think you and Broner will be a good fight. If he wants to test his waters back at 147.
I like you,
but I think Broner, he probably got a little edge over you.
Let's do this. I'm gonna get a petition. So leave your address with Bill, and we gonna make sure we send you your copy so you can sign it. Cause I gotta get a petition to fight these guys. Cause they is like. When they mention my name, they put on baby pampers. They put on baby pampers.
Hey,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, hey, you know, hey, it is, you know, it is what it is. You know, I know cops is hard to find.
Hey, this is real. This is real.
I know it's real. I know you're a hard puncher.
When they mention my name.
Yeah, you're a hard puncher. I wish Pacquiao, besides fighting Al Jury, could have fought you last year, you know, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you, I'm not even going to tell you how many fights they done offer me. I done accepted, and I get the call back in like 30 minutes with a hell no or don't even think about it, or all kind of nonsense.
Hey, well, I'm gonna leave you with this. Darnell Boone, you know, the light heavyweight, he's from, you know, around the Northeast Ohio where I'm at. So, trust me, he gets on that ready because he's an upset-minded fighter because, you know what I'm saying? You know, I thought he should have beat Colvin. You know, after I looked at it, it took him twice to beat him, but I thought it'd be the first time. So, you know, like I said, you just got that type of pedigree about you, you know what I'm saying? But, hey, I wish you luck. You know,
hey, man,
we're
supposed to be warriors out here.
Right, exactly.
Hey, let me tell you, I got offered a Cotto fight, and I haven't fought at 140 in 2 years. And only reason why I said the fight because my homeboys in the hood, they were like, man, we want you to fight Cotto. I was like, y'all want me to fight Cotto.
You know what? It'll be a great fight, a great undercard fight. You and James Kirkland at 154. Make it happen. James Kirkland. You and James Kirkland.
Kirkland getting ready to get that Canelo business.
Yeah, but I say if he lose, like I said, that'd be a good fight. He's going to be right in front of you. You ain't got to worry about it.
Hey, if he lose and he still want to continue after that, then you never know.
All right. I'm on his face. You know, I talk to him from time to time. So, all right. Okay. All right. All right. Y'all take it easy. I ain't trying to, you know.
All right.
Good call, my man. Thank you.
All right. Peace.
Ladies and gents, we got about 8 minutes left. If you want to get in with Randall Bailey, now's the time to do it. Bailey, that was pretty interesting right there, man. I didn't know about the whole Cotto thing. That's kind of funny, but I agree, because without calling names, I can think of one or two guys who had the opportunity to face you and didn't really want any part of it. So,
I got contracts in my file, signed and sealed. Guys that don't pull it out. Contract.
Oh boy, life of
contract.
A KO puncher, huh?
Contract signed and sealed.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Let's go back out there. I think we had a 510 in the building with us. Let's see if he's still 510. Live on Left of Grounds Radio. Randall K.O. King in the building with us. 510. Going once. Going twice. Okay, 510 must apparently be listening. Let's see who else we got out there. We got the... Let's see. Guys, if you want to talk, you got to hit one. I see a lot of listeners out there. I had some callers. Y'all dropped out. He's not going to spar with you, fellas. Ain't no need to be afraid. If you want to get in with KO King, Randall Bailey, hit press one, and I'll get you in to talk. I had like six of them. All of them dropped just that quick. Everyone, let's see who we got out there. Looks like 301 was. Let's go out to the 301, live on Left of Grounds Radio. Damn, Randall, you scaring them off, man. This ain't never happened on my show.
I can't do nothing but keep it 100.
That's pretty crazy. Let's see who else we got. We got quite a few in the building. All of a sudden, nobody want to talk. Let's see. We got let's go to let's go out to the left coast. Let's go to the 323. Let's see if 323 want to talk. 323, live on Left of Grounds Radio.
Hello.
What's up, big man?
Dre, you don't know shit about boxing. What's up, KO Bailey?
What's going on, man?
Oh, man, chilling. I was just listening too, man, but since everybody was scared to get on, I was like, man, you called my number out. I ain't going to punk out, man.
Hey, don't worry, Dre. Hey, like I just said, y'all ain't got to put on no sparring gloves. He's just here to talk tonight. It's all good, bro.
Hey, it's all good. I respect it all. You know?
Hey, I seen what you did to Mike Jones, man. I don't want no parts of you in the ring, player.
Hey, man.
I know y'all touched on it a little bit, man, but yeah, I'm not feeling Amir Khan fighting Chris Algieri, man. That was just like I put it on your page, man. I said his Khan's credibility is now on par with his chin.
Yeah. I totally agree. What you think about that, Randall?
But like I said earlier, these guys they don't care about that. You know what I'm saying? They don't care about how fans gonna look at it. You know?
Yeah, I agree. Because I mean, this guy, Kell Brook has been chasing this dude for like 4 or 5 years. He said Kell Brook ain't fought nobody. Then he said Kell Brook win the title, I'll fight you. Kell Brook goes and wins the title that he should have won, but he backed out and didn't want to fight Devon. And then the dude he's still running from him. And that's the biggest pay that he's making right now.
These is all mirages. They're like when it be hot outside and you see that pile of water look like a beach down the street when you sweating like a dog. Yeah, that's it right there.
Yeah, that's pretty unfortunate. It's all business with these guys. And I agree, though. You don't have enough guys willing to go out on their shield, or, you know, it's you know what it is, too? And Khan doesn't have an O anymore, so this doesn't really apply to him. But you got a lot of guys who are trying to preserve that O and protect their O, you know, looking at the Mayweather.
No. It's a way you do this. You know what I'm saying? Floyd did not protect his O. Floyd fought the best guys out there at his weight, even at a higher weight. You know, I'm not gonna make Floyd go fight a guy that's 6'2". You know, why? We're not gonna fight somebody a credible opponent my height, my size. That's just as good as me. If I beat him easy, then hey, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
You know, but these guys out here, I don't even want to talk about these fools no more. They know who they are. They know who they are.
No doubt. Hey, Ray, thanks for the call.
One time.
Did you have any last thoughts you wanted to get in with Randall before we drop off?
Hey, man, I just hope to see you in the ring soon, man. Hopefully somebody will step up.
Man, shit, man. Yo, I need all the prayers right now. Your prayers to God's ears.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Thanks for having me on, Vito.
Hey, good stuff, Dre. Thanks for calling, my man.
Yes, sir.
All right, that pretty much does it. We're down to about a minute and a half or so. So we're going to go ahead and cut this up. But, Bailey, before I let everybody off the hook and we cut it loose for the night, man, is it anything that you wanted to say to the fight fans or the fight world out there before we drop off?
Hey, man, I'm in the gym. I'm training. I'm doing my own way in tomorrow because I've been training for so long. So I'm like, bumper, let me just go ahead on, make the 147-pound weight so I can get my body back in tune with it, you know, just for the simple fact, you know. So I'm going to post that 147-pound weight this week so they can see that I am training. And if they want to keep running, hey, no problem. They're not going to stop. They're not going to kill my vibe. I'm going to keep doing what I want to do. Until they're ready, but I'm gonna be here.
Somebody would be stupid enough to step up soon. I really believe that. So we'll keep our fingers crossed.
No, they ain't gonna have no choice because they can't keep recycling these opponents. You are gonna have to fight somebody sooner or later.
Hey, hopefully
and guess
so,
what?
Man.
I'm gonna be right there.
Definitely. Hey, hopefully so. But yo, man, before we put the curtains on this episode, I definitely want to thank you for dropping in. If you speak to that boy Javi, tell him I said what's up, man.
Oh, for sure. Thank you for having me, B.
Hey, no doubt, man. Always. We got to get you back on at some point, man. I got some other stuff I'm going to roll out a little later in the year. I'll
talk to you about offline, but definitely want you to be a part of it, man.
Okay, no problem, man. You know, I'm here.
Hey, good stuff, bro. You have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Okay, Val, you too.
All right, man. Peace.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gents, Randall K.O. King Bailey in the building with us tonight. Some really interesting thoughts from him on this whole Mayweather-Pacquiao thing. I found it very interesting that he mentioned, basically admitted and threw out there that he was not a Mayweather fan until he saw that he had some dog in him. I think a lot of people feel that way. So that's a very interesting observation. I got a feeling we're going to need to see all of that dog come May 2nd. Just a month from the day, ladies and gents, 30 days. That's all I got to say on that. But last thing I do want to say is thank you guys for checking us out again. Always great to have you in. Peace, God bless, one love. Father of two, friend of all, love of one, second to none, baby. Have a good night, ladies and gents. We're out.
With the Brooklyn boys, but for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise. Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yep. Yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jet, Global Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht.